Guthrie knew very well that the Marquesa was Larry Lovett's closest ally. She was a formidable adversary, far more wily, in fact, than Lovett himself. It was Barbara Berlingeri who had collected the proxies for Lovett. She was a partner with another Venetian woman in a little business called Venezia Privata, which would organize tours and parties and arrange entree into private palaces. For years, she and Lovett had proposed letting the Venice office make all the arrangements for the biannual galas, rather than doing it from headquarters in New York. Guthrie opposed the idea, partly because he knew it was a power play, and partly because he suspected that the Marquesa saw a business opportunity in it for herself. Barbara Berlingeri and Bob Guthrie sat in the living room of the Berlingeri's Piano Nobile. Barbara came right to the point. "Bob," she said, "you know, we have enough votes right now to throw you off the board." Guthrie looked at her across the tea table. The light coming in through the windows along the Grand Canal illuminated the left side of her face, the side that had been slashed from her cheekbone to her upper lip, opening the wound he had closed so expertly that only the thinnest of hairline scars remained, so slight that no one who did not know it was there would notice it. "But we won't do that to you," she said, smiling, and her smile was perfectly symmetrical, not higher on one side than the other. The vermilion border of her lip was smooth and unpuckered. Bob Guthrie sat looking at Barbara Berlingeri's still beautiful face, admiring his own handiwork, and as he mused, he heard her say through the smile he had saved, "This is what we're willing to give you. You can be the president of the junior committee, and when we create an advisory committee, we will make you president of that, too." Guthrie sat in silence for a moment, mulling over Barbara Berlingeri's purposely degrading offer and letting his mind wander a bit. What if he had stepped aside and let the surgeon at the hospital sew up her face instead of doing it himself? And what if the head surgeon, who had never performed plastic surgery before, had tightened the stitching of the muscles in her cheek a bit too much and left her with a sneer instead of her natural smile? What if he had sewn the vermilion border straight across without first making a notch so that it had a permanent pucker? No. It was better that Bob Guthrie had stepped into the breach, because now, and for the rest of her life, Barbara Berlingeri would look into her mirror upon rising, check her reflection as she passed shop windows, peer into her compact while refreshing her makeup, and in these and a dozen other ways every day, confront her image and be reminded of Bob Guthrie's genius and of her own towering ingratitude. "Barbara," he said, "you blew it."
"I did what?"
"You wasted your proxies. You should have kept quiet about them and waited until the fall meeting after the gala when we vote on directors. That's the vote that counts. But by then, now that you've tipped your hand, I'll have proxies of my own. Then we'll see who really has the votes."